What's next is it's something we've been telling you, but it's getting more important. You're not going to be able to hold on to your workforce or find new ones if you aren't moving to the cloud and you're not embracing what you can do with these technologies like flex, remote working, video conferencing, etc.
What's happening, friends? Welcome back to More Future Proof. I'm Bill. If this is your first time here, pleasure to meet you. Hope you stick around and help us figure out all this future-related craziness. Step one is this week's show, by the way. We've talked quite a bit in past shows about this notion of anticipation, and we've talked about this concept as if it's a skill or a competency that you can actually learn, and it is, but we haven't spent a lot of time talking about how you go about doing that. So that's what we're going to do this week. How can you become more anticipatory? How can you train yourself to look for future trends and spot the opportunities those trends provide? And then take advantage of those opportunities before your competition does. And with me this week to help us do all of that is my boss, Tom Hood. He is president and CEO of the Maryland Association of CPAs and the Business Learning Institute. And he's a semi-regular here on the podcast with good reason. He knows his stuff. And Tom, yeah, he's mastered this art of anticipation by working side by side with the person who wrote the book on the subject, quite literally. That person is Daniel Burris, a world-renowned futurist, author of The Anticipatory Organization and Flash Foresight. Those are both New York Times bestsellers. Creator of a learning system, actually, called The Anticipatory Organization that teaches people how to master this crucial skill. So let me stop real quick here for 1 second and let you know that this week's podcast is sponsored by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, and community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses by dozens of instructors and unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. So, anticipation. It is a critical skill to master when things are moving as fast as they are these days. I just finished reading a new book by another renowned futurist named Mike Walsh. That book is called The Algorithmic Leader: How to Be Smart When Machines Are Smarter Than You. And this is just a great book. I'm working on a number of blog posts based on some of Walsh's teachings. But one of the things he says that got me thinking is how we need to reframe our mindset in an age of automation. So here's what Mike Walsh says. He says, quote, "Rather than wondering if your job will disappear, ask yourself, what is the new job inside my old one?" End quote. Right? I mean, how do we need to evolve in order to add greater value as the machines do more and more of the repetitive stuff that we traditionally spend a lot of our time on? Here's kind of a cool example of anticipation in action and what Mike Walsh is talking about. He writes about what's happening at Goldman Sachs and has been happening since the financial crash in 2007. And I'm reading straight from Walsh's book here. He writes, quote, "Before the crash, the U.S. cash equities trading desk at Goldman Sachs' New York headquarters employed 600 traders. Today, there are just two. Suddenly, with those 600 traders gone, there were a lot of empty desks. So Goldman decided to use that available real estate to house small groups of internal technology startups created to leverage data and machine learning." Now, Walsh goes on to say, quote, "An interesting example of one of those startups is Marcus. That's a retail bank named after the founder of Goldman Sachs. Marcus was initially created to help consumers consolidate their credit card balances, and it is entirely run by software with no human intervention and was launched in under a year. In its first 18 months of operation, Marcus issued $3 billion in new consumer loans. And the interesting part of the story is that companies like Marcus, designed to operate mainly with automation and algorithms, have allowed Goldman Sachs to move into consumer finance, something that was previously quite unthinkable given its focus on investment banking." End quote. That's an example of a new job within an old one, right? And one that's done mainly by machines and algorithms, by the way. And if technology is going to continue to advance this quickly, and it is, then we have to start getting comfortable with looking ahead more than we look back. And in our profession, that, you know, that's asking a lot. But that's what anticipation is all about. And luckily, there are people out there who are helping us become more anticipatory. One of them is Daniel Burris. I interviewed Daniel actually more than a year ago for this podcast, by the way. If you want to hear more from him, go back and listen to the very first episode, episode one of Future Proof. Another is Tom Hood. Tom and the Maryland Association of CPAs are working with Daniel Burris to bring, it's kind of a groundbreaking new tool to our profession. It's called the Anticipatory Organization Accounting and Finance Edition. It's designed to teach us how to be more future ready, and it works. A number of firms and organizations across the country are using it to ramp up the future readiness of their teams, and they say it's transforming how they work and how they serve their clients. And I'll be talking to some of these folks in the coming weeks to, you know, give you an idea of what anticipation looks like in action. But let's kind of set the stage by having Tom Hood explain this concept in detail, because it can be a little fuzzy until you realize what anticipation actually is and what it can help us accomplish. So let's do that, shall we? Here is Tom Hood. So Tom, there's a lot of buzz flying around the profession lately about this notion of anticipation. To the point where even there's even more than one organization out there saying that it's actually like a key skill we're going to have to master to stay relevant going forward. And it's got almost kind of this weird nebulous kind of feel to it. It's like it's almost intangible in a way. Define it for me. What from an accounting and finance point of view, especially, what does anticipation mean?
Well, I think in all the work that we've done, so yeah, it is showing up everywhere, Bill. And I would say what anticipation means, at least in our work, with what we've done with, you know, tons of CPAs, leadership areas, and the firms and companies we're working with, it's the ability to anticipate future trends and issues before they hit you. So we hear a lot about disruption and these waves that are coming, the fourth industrial revolution, you know, you name it, but everyone agrees on two things: that the pace of change is increasing. And I know you've said it, that, you know, the pace of change will never be slower than it is right now. And so how do you get ahead when change is accelerating? So that's number one. And number two, if you look at the top issues that our profession is dealing with, the top three or four always include being reactive versus proactive, having enough time, you know, doing more with less, all those kind of overwhelmed notions. So you put the two together, you're in a world of faster change and you're busier than ever. And so this is this idea that we have to train ourselves and our teams and give them tools so that they can say, how do I know what's around the bend? And what can I do to be proactive, anticipate, and deal with that ahead of time? And that gets to, you know, strategies and techniques and tools that you can then do that in your job or in your organization. I don't know if it's not very concise, but I think it's what we're seeing.
Yeah, it's a good way of just kind of laying the groundwork, I think, for this conversation. So a couple of things that came to mind as you were talking about that. One is, anticipating future trends sounds almost like, you know, predicting the future, and I don't know, is that even possible? How do you actually do that? How can you tell what trends are going to be impacting us tomorrow when you know tomorrow is not far away?
Well, that's a big kind of component of our strategic partnership with Daniel Burris, a global futurist who created the Anticipatory Organization, both a book, best-selling book, and a learning system. And that actually helps you predict the future. In other words, his whole point is there are things about the future that you can be certain about. He calls those hard trends. And if you focus on what you know and let the stuff that you don't know drift away, you will be predicting or paying attention to the trends that will matter most, that you know will happen. And they happen to be in three buckets that are easy for CPAs to understand. And once they get there and they drill down in them, they're very powerful for how they deal with their firm or company strategies and how they deal with their clients and customers. So technology, which is no surprise, but that's the exponential one. Demographics, which gets to the workforce and the changes in our baby boomers retiring and the multi-generations in the workforce. And then the third one happens to be legislation and regulation. So the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, the Wayfair decision, all of those revenue recognition standards. Those are things that are part and parcel of our profession. But when you put them in the context of you can actually see them coming in a predictable pattern, then it helps you get ahead of them a bit if you choose to.
So, and this strikes me as something that might not come very easily to, you know, most folks in this profession. Is how do you take somebody who's used to, in fact, trained, it's part of their DNA to look in the rearview mirror most of the time, and kind of teach them to do the opposite, to look forward and try to get ahead of things that haven't happened yet. How do we start to do that?
Well, that's the part that I get excited about, because we're actually seeing where we can actually do that. So it's about mindset. You know, do they have an understanding of how the future's evolving and kind of start thinking about that and ultimately shifting that mindset to a what I'd call a positive future view? Then it would be skill set. What are those skills? And there's some predictable skills around, you know, understanding innovation, strategy, understanding the trends a bit, some creativity, problem solving, those kind of things. And then there's the tool set. And what we've learned is the learning system, or even the book, if you're going to do a DIY model, will give you those three things, right? Mindset, skill set, tool set, so that you actually have a way. And that's why CPAs respond to it, Bill. There's a methodology that's kind of proven that they can follow. So CPAs are good at doing that. And so if you give them that kind of roadmap to think about the future, we're seeing some pretty big success in organizations that we've been working with and in some of the individuals.
So to tell me a little bit about some of those successes, who's doing it right? I mean, what does this concept, anticipation, what does it look like in action in our profession?
So I'll give you a couple examples. I mean, there's a bunch of our early adopter organizations that used it pretty effectively to, you know, shift their culture and actually begin some pretty innovative projects and transform some of their services. So Horn out of Mississippi, you've probably heard us talk about Joey Havens quite a bit. He's about 3 years in. Deland and Stang right here in Maryland has done some pretty cool stuff. SSAI is a corporate, one of our past chairs, actually so is Deland and Stang, who've done some pretty cool things there. So what they're doing, Bill, is they're actually changing their culture so that their whole culture is about anticipation. So I'll give you a couple of examples. So Horn created a big innovation tournament. I think Accounting Today is going to be covering it soon. And that one was, they've got like three or four big innovative ideas. But even before that, they did some things inside their industry verticals, applying the hard trend anticipation concept to their client industries, and came up with some really game-changing things, including a mobile app in their government services area. I think their franchise team created a new technology piece that was extremely valuable. They opened up a cybersecurity practice, those kind of things. SSAI started to transform from pure reliance on government work to beginning to look at commercial and industry work by using what their scientists had as a great chunk of knowledge. So Deland and Stang used it in how they had conversations with their clients. And so their conversations all took a future slant. What's your future look like, you know, Mr. or Miss Small Business Owner, and how can we help you? So those are examples where people are actually doing different things as a result of understanding the concepts and applying them, obviously, in their businesses.
So tell me a little bit about, okay, you mentioned Daniel Burris and AOAF. So, okay, you and I know what that means. It's part of our language, but for those who may not be familiar with it, describe what AOAF is, what's it designed to do, how does it work? Because it is a pretty powerful tool when you start to actually incorporate it into your life. So tell me a little bit about about what it is and how it works.
So, and by the way, Bill, we ultimately do it ourselves. So we're probably 3 years in, and we just did a couple sessions to renew ourselves around it and facilitate how our people are thinking about it, and how we're using it. We use it in our board planning, et cetera. So AOAF, it's the Anticipatory Organization, that's the AO part, Accounting and Finance Edition, which is what we did when we met Dan Burse and started looking at this. We said, this is really powerful, but it needed the context from our profession. So we partnered with him on bringing the leadership of CPAs from all walks of life, CFOs, controllers, big firms, small firms, young professionals, right? And we got them together in a room with his instructional designer, and we tailored the examples in the lessons to be about accounting and finance. So it talked about things that CPAs would be familiar with. So it's a learning system, but it's actually much more than that. I call it a transformation accelerator if you maximize it. So it's built for teams, right? We generally try to subdivide the firm or the company into smaller groups of maybe 30. We run them through, it's 28 lessons over 4 modules. And we generally recommend 1 month per module. So it's a 4-month process. But here's the beauty, right? It's all state-of-the-art. It's nano learning. It's on an on-demand platform to track your learning. You can do it on a tablet or a laptop. It remembers where you left off. And anyhow, that requires about 1 hour a week. That's it. So the individual learners do it at their own pace and at their own place. And then once a month, we bring the teams together. There's groups of 30 roughly. And they do a collaboration session where they share what they're learning and how they're thinking and applying it to their own context, to their firm or their practice area, to their clients or to internal projects. And that we capture and feed back to the firm. So you're talking about, 1 hour a week over 4 months, plus an extra, it's roughly an hour and a half session once a month to bring people together. Now that does two things. It creates the culture of anticipation, it creates a common language, and it also gets people to do the exercises because, as you know, everyone's really busy. And so if you just said do it, they might start it, but they probably wouldn't finish it. And these check-ins at each month, each module, kind of encourage that progress, right? So people go and get it done. So
yeah, that's what we're talking about. And those check-ins too, and this is all kind of baked into the whole AOAF process, but it's not just like learning a concept, right? It's not just like saying you got to be more anticipatory. It actually gives you job aids to help you apply it directly to what you do. So it really, it makes it real, and it then becomes not just this weird kind of nebulous concept, but a skill that you can actually learn how to do. More and more frequently, we're hearing it's becoming a crucial skill.
Yeah. I mean, the firms that really want to, as I say, accelerate their transformation and make a proactive, this is the foundation for consulting skills. And I'll share quickly 6 themes that have been consistent in all the work that we've done. So in part of this work, we asked them to create what's called a future view. What is the future of your practice or your company in light of all the trends that you've now learned about? And we're seeing 6 common themes, right? Internally, 3 of them support a collaborative, people-centric, and anticipatory culture. Number 2, embrace flexible remote working environments based on those hard trends of technology. Number 3, recruit and retain a diverse workforce. Number 4 is both internal and external. It's leveraging technology to create better user experiences for both your internal staff and your clients or customers. Big one. Number 5, this is external. Shift away from compliance to become a consultative advisory services firm. And then number six, expand your service offerings and create more industry verticals. So those are examples of what people are saying across multiple organizations in this learning. And that's showing you kind of what it's doing to shape their thinking. And then it's about, okay, now what are we going to make a must-do and get moving on, right? It actually builds out some of their strategy and innovation.
Yeah, and as you alluded to, Tom, it works best when you and your team kind of go through this multiple times. So this is not like check the box CPE that you take one time and you're done, right? I mean, the goal here is to really embed this into the culture of your organization so that, you know, you didn't just, you know, take a class and learn how to do this. You're actually becoming more anticipatory.
Correct. That's where we see the biggest results. So it really gets to, what are you trying to do? So if you're really trying to shift your culture and get them ready for this fast future, then this is a great way to do that. Now, you could just do the learning and get some CPE for it, and that would work okay also. But there's just so much that we're seeing these firms and companies do as they get moving on it. And that's what we get excited about, because they're getting real results. They're literally transforming. I'll give you one quick example. One firm, when they went through it, said that after they went through the learning, you know, projects that they would do to implement like new technology, in fact, one was AI and audit. They were implementing it, and they said in the past, the group that kind of comes up with the idea and starts putting it in, of course, they're bought in and they're all gung-ho, even through the, you know, bumps and struggles. But the rest of the group would be like, here we go again, another stupid project, they're making us do, it doesn't work right, you know, all that. And they said what happened this time was after the learning, people were like, we got to learn this. We got to, this is part of our future. So we've got to start getting good at this. And they really had a completely different attitude, which meant they were more accepting of change and much more willing to say, let's try this and learn and keep adjusting. So that's a great example of what's taught and how it applies from that perspective.
Daniel Burris, I mean, he's one of the more renowned futurists in the world. I mean, he's works with Fortune 500 companies, some of the biggest organizations on the planet. Why us? Why did he decide to come work with little Maryland Association of CPAs to help the accounting and finance profession become more future ready? What did he see there?
I think he said two things. He thinks that our profession plays a really important role in tons of organizations and among the, you know, business community and the public accounting side. And he liked the idea of taking a profession, as you said earlier, that's kind of a rear view mirror and shifting them to the windshield view. So he thought that was kind of a enticing challenge and opportunity. And then he loved the fact that we were gung-ho in trying to do that. So I remember the call when you and I first met him way back, I think it was in like 2013. And we said, he's got something here and we need to talk more about how we can do that to help our profession kind of shift into this future.
Yeah, that's great. So yeah, and you said it earlier, we're busier than ever. We're all just heads down trying to get through what's on our desk today. And then that stuff is flying at us faster than ever before. I mean, how do we start to make room for something like this? What's the first step for somebody who's feeling that pressure more than ever before? How do we get going?
You just said it, right? It's about making room. And Burris would say 1 hour a week is all it takes. So if you said, I'm going to invest in this learning of myself and figure this out, 1 hour a week, and you stick to that, you will learn the skills to be more proactive. Will you still have to react to things and be agile when things hit you? Absolutely. It's an and, not or. But what if you could just be a little further ahead and that would get you a little bit better position with your clients, or with your career? What would that mean? And so I think it's like, just spend that little bit of time investing in that 1 hour a week to get yourself thinking about that future. I think that's the magic bullet, which is your calendar, right? Schedule it and do it.
Yeah, but get it on the calendar and keep those appointments, because that's the only way you're ever going to make anything like that happen. So put on your anticipatory hat here for me yourself. for a second. Trends that you're seeing out there that you think are important that we might not be paying very much attention to at this point. What's kind of popping up on your radar? I know, you know, everyone's talking about AI and blockchain, and those are really big on the hype cycle. Is there anything that you've seen lately that's just kind of like the so-called weak signals out there that haven't gotten here yet, but you think might be important at some point down the road? What's kind of got your attention?
Well, I think, I mean, AI, I think it's more about machine learning. I think the other one that we're seeing a lot is RPA, robotic process automation. Those are powerful technologies that are going to automate a lot of our profession. There's a Accenture, I think, just repurposed 40,000 people by automating their internal shared services, their accounting and all their back office functions. They automated that with robotic process automation, and now they're creating a commercial division doing that for hire. So, you know, when you eliminate 40,000 people, that's a big chunk of folks. So I think that's on the radar. I think the other ones, Bill, actually two more, which is cloud computing. I mean, it's as basic as that. You can't get to RPA and machine learning or AI or even blockchain if you don't move to the cloud. So I think the fundamental is, what do I need to do to get moving to the cloud? That was the first step we took in our transformation journey. And I think the next one is understanding your demographics. In other words, the millennials are the dominant generation of the workforce, and they're only going to get bigger. And so this idea that I'm just going to wait them out and they'll start giving in to everything we want isn't going to happen. And so just like we said in those six themes, one of those big themes was flexible and remote working environments. Every staff survey there is talks about that as like number one, number two is training, and number three is technology. So these are all related to hard trends. And I guess when you think about what's next is something we've been telling you, but it's getting more important. You're not going to be able to hold on to your workforce or find new ones if you aren't moving to the cloud and you're not embracing what you can do with these technologies like flex, remote working, video conferencing, et cetera.
Yeah, and that you know, it strikes me, and you kind of turned me on to this book, Mike Walsh, another futurist out there, wrote a great book called The Algorithmic Leader. Sorry, it's a tongue twister there, but The Algorithmic Leader, and he makes the point in there that really our job is to, in order to stay relevant, is to find the new job within our jobs. Right. So, and I think the one thing I'm hearing over and over again is we're still going to be relevant going forward. Our jobs will not go away if we can do that. If we can find the new job within our jobs and learn how to evolve ourselves, and that means embracing these types of changes and figuring out how do we have to change in order to move forward. So. How would you rate the profession in terms of that at this point? You think we're ready to make that move to kind of step out of our comfort zone and say, okay, what do we need to do differently in order to move this thing forward?
I think we're at I call it now where the gap is going to widen, Bill. So I think the answer is there's plenty in our profession who are making those shifts. There's no question about that. And there's plenty more who are looking, picking their heads up and saying, what do I need to do? I think you'll see a lot more of that after tax season. And then there's a third bucket that is saying, I'm too old. I'm too far in. I don't know what to do. I don't know. So I'm just going to, I'll sell out or I'll retire or I'll close up. So I think those are the three buckets. And I do think the first two, those who are moving and those who are saying, I need to start moving, are getting bigger. Those who are staying behind, well, hopefully they'll retire before they get hit. But they're seeing, you know, prices are falling in the merger and acquisition market. So I think that's what's going to happen. So I think the good news is we're seeing some of them, more of them shifting. And the ones who are saying, I'm just going to hold out, hopefully you'll get to that retirement or buyout before you get impacted.
And you personally, your thoughts about the future of the profession? You're as bullish about it as most people I've seen. You still that way?
Yeah, I believe, you know, we have a culture of learning, constant learning in our profession. We put those CPE rules in back in the 70s, but earlier than almost any other profession. There's still most other professions don't even have that mandatory continuing ed. So I think we have that going for us. We also have the integrity and the fact that we've had to constantly adopt. We've had technology impacting us for quite a while, maybe not as fast, but we have. And certainly the regulation and stuff that's going on with taxes and all those things continues to move forward. So I think we are pretty adaptive. And I think we saw that when we did the Vision Project and the Horizons Project. So I'm still bullish. I'm still on a buy. It's the profession's worth it.
Awesome. Well, Tom, to be continued, I'm sure. But thanks for taking the time today. I appreciate your insights and the conversation. And as I said, we'll keep talking about this stuff.
Awesome. Thank you, Bill.
That was Tom Hood, President and CEO of the Maryland Association of CPAs. You can learn more by reading the book, The Anticipatory Organization, Turn Disruption and Change into Opportunity and Advantage. That's by Daniel Burris. And if you're ready to take the next step and become more anticipatory yourself, visit blionline.org/AO to learn more about the Anticipatory Organization Accounting and Finance Edition. And speaking of the BLI, this week's sponsor is the Business Learning Institute. The BLI's Future Ready Learning Framework outlines the skills that CPAs need to thrive in the rapidly changing world of accounting and finance. That framework is all about gaining and maintaining deep technical knowledge along with a strategic skill set. And we're talking about strategic aptitudes that have been identified as most crucial for tomorrow's CPAs. Start mastering those future ready skills now by visiting macpa.org/future-learning. That's it, gang. Have a great week. I'll talk to you next week.